All right, I want to greet all of you this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a blessing to be here with you all again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to us. We just ask you to help us be faithful to you. Lord, I pray that you'd give us ears to hear, eyes to see. Lord, we ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom, that you'd open our hearts to your word, Father. Give us what we need to say and hear, Father. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Just kind of begin here, lay a little groundwork, what we're talking about here. This just some basics. A lot of people profess to be Christians. It's pretty interesting to whenever someone gets interested in being a Christian, they usually just jump in the Bible and just try to understand everything. And, you know, they go to church and they learn doctrine and dogma and just learn everything they can. And that's generally how things go. And usually once they begin learning, just like all knowledge, they begin to get puffed up. And a lot of times when we get that knowledge and we just keep adding to that knowledge, and pretty soon we know more than the average person, that, you know, just reading your Bible, it doesn't take much to just everybody to look at you like you're a Bible scholar and that you're just way up there with knowing the Bible. And with that comes a pride that goes against everything the Bible teaches. A Christian is someone who looks at this book and allows it to conform their lives to Jesus. A Christian is someone who is, like the songs we were singing, is someone who becomes a reflection of Jesus on this earth. You know, there's a Bible verse that says that we'll do much more than he will. He said that. And the way we do that is, instead of just being one person that's reflecting Jesus and the life of Jesus, there'll be many more of us. And so we can, as a whole, do more than he can. So a Christian is not just someone who goes to church, not someone who just reads the Bible, it's not someone who just gets baptized, it's not someone who just says a prayer and asks forgiveness, but it's someone who comes to God just like they are and gives himself to God. That repentance is, you know, a lot of people say repentance is just quit doing something bad. You know, there's a lot of people talk about that. There's a lot of people don't. Some people think that repentance is not needed. But repentance is whenever my will is surrendered to God's will. That I've seen the life that I've lived, that I see the failures, I see the bad things that I've done, and there's guilt. There's a separation from God. He's missing. And looking for God, we begin to see the areas in our lives that we want to hang on to and the areas in his life that he's claiming that we don't want to give up. And we have to, that's where our repentance is. Is repentance is a different Lord in your life. It's not just, you better repent of that. You you said something wrong. That's not what repentance is. That's religion, trying to improve yourself in all those different ways. But true repentance is realizing that I need a different king in my life. See, the problem is we think we're the kings of our own lives. But in reality is Satan is letting us saying you can do whatever you want. And I'll give you all the whole world. That's him being the king of our life. You know, we don't see him as that. We don't think of him like that. But that's in reality is what's happening. He lets us think that it's all about us. And then we yield to those things and he gets more power over us. Then pretty soon there's habits in our lives that are controlling us and those things. It's because we're yielding more and more, thinking it's us, to him, instead of yielding to Jesus and what he wants from us. We know what we're doing is wrong. And we know whenever we're out of order, we know the very heart of that is who's the king of your life. This verse that I picked out is just another verse. It's the teachings of Jesus. We read these teachings of Jesus not to learn how to be above each other, not to learn how to be able to quote all the things, but we learn them so that we can conform to these things ourselves. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 says, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. This verse a lot of times is used in churches. And what I want to point out is the heart going into looking into this verse. The heart to be like Jesus. And if we think about Jesus, he didn't go around looking for people's faults. You know, we often hear this verse, these verses from religious people, and well, what do you do about someone that's sinned? You know, and they're so concerned. Because Jesus said, if you go find your faults, you go point these faults out to these people, and you'll win your brother. And that's how this is used. But it's used in the very spirit of a Pharisee, because that's the way they did things. But if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two with you, so that if by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. And it says, truly I say unto you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again I say it to you, if two of you agree on earth on anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I there am in their midst. These verses are the basis of all church authority that has gone awry. You know, it starts out that we're just trying to help a brother. But pretty soon, what it comes to is they won't listen to me. So I have the power over them to excommunicate them. You know, all through history this has happened. You know, the Catholic Church used this authority, and they used these verses to be able to put Christians to death. Why? Because of some sin that they had done? No, because They wouldn't listen to them. That's the heart of it. You see, what the sin is here is taking ourselves too seriously. We take ourselves way too seriously. And that's another form of pride, like we've been talking about a while back. Thinking that, here, this verse here gives me the authority that if I can find two or three people that'll agree with me, whatever we agree on, God is bound to do that for us. And we have the power to say, you belong in heaven, you're not a part of the church. You're a part of the church, you're not a part of the church. You belong in heaven, you belong in hell. And that's exactly what happens and where this goes. Why? Because we're not looking at it with the Spirit of Jesus. Whenever your brother, in King James it says, if your brother trespass against you, this leaves it a little different here. But if your brother trespasses, that means your brother has actually done you wrong. Not, I disagree with him. I don't like the way he does this. I don't like the way he raises his family. I don't like the way he... And the list can go on and on and on and on. And that's where it goes. And it's not about actually being like Jesus. It takes on its own form. It becomes ugly, dirty, nasty, filthy religion. And that's exactly what it is. Nasty, filthy, ugly, dirty, devil-controlled religion. Not like Jesus at all. If your brother trespasses against you, you know, this... Jesus tells us here that go to him. Tell him his fault. You know, we're so quick to do that, that we got to go fix everything. And the whole thing is, it's the person usually that thinks so high of themselves that they take it as their own personal responsibility to go around fixing everybody. That is the ultimate height of pride. So we get caught up on all these verses because we think so high of ourselves that God has given me this power. But if we look at the spirit of this, we see that that's not what he's trying to say here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Does any one of you, when he has a case against his neighbor, dare to go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? If the world is judged by you, are you not competent to constitute the smallest law courts? You see, here's someone that's got a real problem with someone else in the church. Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more matters of this life? These people had such a disagreement that they say, okay, I'm going to take you to court and we're going to let a judge decide this. You've wronged me. And we're going to go to the court and let a judge take care of this. And then Paul says, don't you know that the saints are going to judge the world? Isn't there somebody in the church that you can look to settle these matters? See, that's where the other side of this comes in. Well, I can settle this matter. He's wrong. And so we jump on the bandwagon and get it all settled. Do you not know that we will judge angels? So if any of you have law courts dealing with matters of this life, do you appoint them as judges who are of no account in the church? Do we find somebody to be a judge that has no standing at all among the brotherhood? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not among you one wise man who will be able to decide between his brethren? I'll get to the real problem here in just a minute. But brother goes to law with brother, and that before unbelievers. It's a real problem. Actually, then, it is already a defeat for you that you have lawsuits one with another. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? See, right there's the question. How was Jesus in all of this? Have we all not wronged Jesus? Isn't he among any? Wouldn't he be able to go around and point out everybody's faults if that was what he was wanting? Wouldn't he have gone around doing that? But he didn't. He didn't even take that on himself. And yet, people who profess to know him are quick to jump into that position, thinking that God sent them to do it, when Jesus himself didn't even do those things. His example. Was to be wronged. They beat on him. And he opened not his mouth. They despised him. They rejected him. You know, I think the real thing is with most people, whenever they go talk to somebody or give someone advice and they don't take it, they think, my advice is so valuable and they rejected it, they need to be punished because they won't listen to me. Now, isn't that a fine attitude for someone who professes to be a Christian? No, it isn't. It's the most worthless attitude you can have and profess to be a Christian, because it's unchristlike. You know, Jesus told us how to live. And how many of us actually take that and listen to him. And then, you know, he tells us how to do that, to be merciful, to forgive, to turn the other cheek. But then when I tell someone something and they don't listen to me, I'm ready to kick them out of the church or kick them out of my fellowship because they won't listen to me. That's as backwards as it gets. It is unchristian as it gets. Not that there's not a place for someone that's just completely out of line and just completely disregarding. But it probably should start with the people who are having this attitude that if you won't listen to me, you can't be a Christian. That's where the real offense comes. And that's where the real heart of it is. You know, it's hard when you're a father, or when you're a parent, when you're a brother, when you're a leader in the church, and you see somebody going down a wrong path, and you give them some advice, and then they don't take it. You know, at that point, it's all on them. They didn't take it. You feel sad. You wish they would. You pray for them. But it's on them. When it jumps from them to you is whenever you decide that we need to take action against this person because they wouldn't listen to me and they might make a mistake because they're not heeding my advice. It's no longer just on them. Now we're taking it upon ourselves to be listened to. And we're trying to force everyone else to do it. Just like Jesus didn't. You know, when people didn't listen to him, the rich young ruler came to Jesus and asked him, "What do I got to do?" And Jesus said, "Keep the law. Keep all the commandments." And the man said, "I've done them." But the one little thing that he was unwilling to let Jesus be control of, he said, "Go do that. Sell what you have and follow me." And he went away sorrowful. Jesus didn't go after him, scolding him, said, "You no good thing, you. You're a rotten sinner." He let him go. He watched him. He was probably sad as he watched him walk away, knowing the path that he was leading was going to be a bad one. It's a bad decision. But he let him go. That's one of the hardest things about our pride, is not to be listened to. You know, Jaden mentioned this morning about the message, you know, a few years ago about being a producer or a parasite. You know, and he mentioned, you know, about young people that really maybe haven't had to pay much of a price to follow the Lord. They've been taught all their lives. And, you know, it's hard kind of. You teach and you teach, and then you watch somebody just despise what you've taught. Or you teach someone and you try to build something, and then you watch it start going off in another direction. And just people just disregard the direction it's going. And it's kind of, if we're full of pride, we'll get all upset about it. Why won't anybody listen to me? The reason I think that way is because I'm taking myself way too seriously. The only way that it goes forward is if you take hold of this yourself. You be the person. You know, we might not have to face the same battles, but we've got battles of our own the same. Just take that on yourself, that I'm going to pattern my life after Christ. Not only in the commandments or the laws, but I'm going to have His Spirit about me. Jesus humbled Himself and became a man. He didn't come here trying to be the authority, the end-all, be-all. You know, one of the most liberating things is, you know, I'm not the judge. I don't have to decide every little thing. My job is to be like Jesus and to have the same spirit as Christ. Just like in what I had in the beginning. Before you learn all this stuff and you have to argue about things and have to figure out every little thing. What does the Lord require me of me? To love God, to keep His commandments, and to walk humbly before my God. He gives us different responsibilities and different roles. But if we miss that, it doesn't matter how big the title is. Actually, it's already a defeat that you have lawsuits or complaints or nitpicking against your brother. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? Because we've got to defend ourselves because I'm so valuable. I'm so important. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? On the contrary, you yourselves wrong and defraud. You do this even to your brother. May the Lord help us to not lose sight of what it is to be a Christian. That's to be like Jesus. To follow Him. To be like Him. To be humble. To be patient. To love mercy. To love forgiveness. That's fine until somebody does me wrong, huh? That's fine until somebody doesn't listen to me. You know, Jesus, hardly anybody listened to Him. Just a few, just a handful. He didn't think less of Himself because they weren't listening to Him. He didn't have a pity party because they're not listening. He actually was disappointed for their sake, not for His own. Anyway, may the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Selling drugs, running and gunning, doing drugs, and it's just like, if you would just give me a minute to breathe, please, you know? But they just can't handle you smoking a cigarette because it just vexes their righteous soul, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was reading this morning, and I probably read it a bunch of times before, but when they took Jesus into Pilate, the chief priest, or whatever they called it back here, Cephas, wouldn't go in because he didn't want to defile himself so he could eat the Passover. That's a hard man. To be able to condemn somebody to death and eat the Passover, that is a hard man. And you know, Pilate wanted to let him go. He tried everything he could. And I'm not, you know, people say that Pilate sold his soul. And I don't know if the Bible, I never have read that in the Bible, but I'm not sure if he did because Jesus told him. You know, if Pilate hadn't condemned him, somebody else would have condemned him. And Jesus told Pilate that, you know, he who delivered me to you has more sin than you do. Mm-hmm. So I'm not 100% sure. I'm not saying what Pilate did was right and he couldn't let him go. But Jesus knew that there was no turning back from that moment. He was going, you know. So whether it had been Pilate or it had been somebody else, he was going. And I think, you know, I don't know about Pilate because they said that him and Herod became friends after that. So I'm sure he had his part in it too. But just, you know, I don't know. It just struck me hard that, you know, you could do that to somebody and go eat the Passover afterwards. That's a hard person right there. But, and, you know, I've seen a lot of Christians who can do the exact, you know, they can condemn somebody and go and not even think a thing about it because that person's not a Christian, you know. So anyway, that's all I got.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, for the boys and girls that next Sunday come with a story for us of where the apostles or the early Christians, rather than becoming the judge, they allowed themselves to be the fraud, where they put into practice Jesus' example in this. A little story from the early Christians or the apostles about that.
Yeah, we taking ourselves so seriously is we can't tolerate anybody that might be among us that isn't what we expect. In fact, they may even be not doing what they're supposed to be doing and just kind of cast a whole shadow on the whole group. But Jesus was hung right in amongst thieves, and the onlooker didn't know who he was. He was just another thief. He wasn't up there, "Hey, I'm not one of these guys." He said, "Father, forgive them." All right, well, Lord bless y'all. Part peace.